Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Tom Edwards. That tune can only mean the West Ham Fan Show is back. The first one of the new year and the first one of the decade. And always, it may be a new year, fresh start, fresh change, but some things never change. You can still get involved in the show tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. And what a first show it is. We're going to be talking to ex-West Ham keeper Jimmy Walcott. Obviously, goalkeeping news. It surrounds itself with West Ham at the minute. Then looking towards that Sheffield United game, speaking to Callum Cheswick all about the Friday night game. The Rogue Players Quiz is back, a firm favourite here at the station and on the West Ham Fan Show. But we'll start with the massive news. No, it's not David Moyes' appointment. It's James Jones on Twitter. Not only is he a dad now, but he don't want to play Millwall. James, this is unbelievable.
I got so much stick, didn't I? I can't believe so many people took it out of context.
I was honestly, for 5 minutes after I saw that tweet, I thought, I don't know if I want to act like I know James for that quick minute.
That hurts, mate. Because, I think I'm well within my rights to suggest that when West Ham play Millwall, and history tells us that when West Ham play Millwall, all there really is a fight. And, you know, the last time I went to West Ham v Millwall, I spent more time looking at the crowd than I did looking at the football match. And I'm a little bit more grown up now than I was then. Back then it was quite fun. Now I just want to go and watch a game of football. And don't get me wrong, if West Ham played Millwall, it'd be quite a good game because Gary Rout's doing a pretty good job over at Millwall at the moment. So that'd be quite a good little contest on the pitch. But I think we all know that when West Ham play Millwall, and if West Ham drew Millwall in the Cup, and it could still happen this season because we're both still in it, it will attract a lot of the Stone Island Brigade, and they will come out in their numbers, and they want to have a little bit of a fight and a little bit of a...
Well, it's interesting you say that, James, because we've got one of the Stone Island Brigade in the studio with us, Mr. Tom Edwards, and I don't want to start a fight. I don't want to start a conflict already. It is the first show. But, Tom, you saw that tweet. You couldn't believe it, could you?
I could believe... I mean, I completely agree the sentiment of he doesn't want violence in the games. We were talking about this just now, completely bang on. I just said to James, I want Millwall because it's a different game for us. Obviously, we're rivals with Tottenham, rivals with Chelsea, but to them, we're not really that much. So to Millwall, to have that fierce derby, I always want to draw it just because it's a different game. But also do agree with James.
I agree with you as well.
We were saying, that's what surprised me about the backlash to the tweet, because James wasn't saying he thinks it's a bad game or he thinks it's this and that, or it's not a meaningful game anymore. He was just purely saying the fact of the facts, which are at the Olympic Stadium, the trouble would be huge.
What we'll say, just to end it, is that...
you have the final say, James.
I got a lot of abuse from West Ham. Millwall fans, obviously, they were going to have a pop at me, and I kind of half expected that. But there's a lot of West Ham fans that had a pop at me, and they said some pretty horrible things to me as well.
Were you a little bit surprised at that, in all honesty?
I was surprised because, everyone's, can have their own opinion. And what I said was taken out of context a little bit. And I think Tom, you said exactly what I was trying to come across in that tweet. Maybe I should have worded it a little bit better. I don't know. But I was surprised at the way that a lot of West Ham fans, particularly some West Ham fans who think they're very, very important West Ham fans. I don't think I need to name any names. Called me out a little bit.
If you're listening, Will Pugh.
Yeah, Will Pugh. I was expecting Will Pugh to get in touch with me about that, but he never did.
See, there's another problem. We're in a new decade. Will's all, he had a few weeks off before the end of the year. Now he's got a missus. He was missing in action, skiing.
Is that
skiing? I know. What's the matter with him?
It's as if I don't even know him.
Yeah, change man.
I just...
Lost himself.
Mm.
It's a shame.
We've all said it.
Yeah.
Maybe there isn't a player. Maybe it's just West Ham duo in the future, not West Ham world. We're closing the doors. No, we're kidding. Of course, Will, don't come back. No, let's talk about there was change. And obviously, Pellegrini was at a terrible Boxing Day performance to Leicester, which was really the final nail in the coffin. Obviously, Moyes was the man appointed. Let's take it back just before that appointment. James, firstly, how did you feel in it? And Tom, I know you were saying, look, we need to show that ambition now. We really need to go forward. It was Moyes. Take out the two games and what you think of Moyes now. What did you think then?
I was livid when they appointed him again. I thought it reeked of a decision that showed that they really don't know or don't know how to take this club forward. They decided 18 months ago that David Moyes wasn't the right man to take us forward after keeping us in the Premier League and doing a relatively decent job with a squad that wasn't his, and with no money in January, really, apart from the 10 mil we spent on Jordan Hugo, which we won't really... Yeah, we'll forget about
Bagsmith.
That. But he did a good job, and I wouldn't be surprised if they'd have given him a longer deal then, but they decided, no, Manuel Pellegrini's the man to come in. You know, he's the big-name manager that the fans want. And we all did, you know, don't get me wrong, we all said, no, we want a big-name manager.
Yep.
We got the big-name manager.
Pellegrini's power play. We can't use that anymore.
Exactly, yeah. Big team mentality.
That's gone, James. All our clichés are out.
I'm buzzing that that's gone. but then they've gone back to him. And I find it just so bizarre they've gone back to him. Don't get me wrong, he's had a good start, and we'll talk about that. But... at the time when it came out that yeah he's gone and they're gonna bring him Moyes within 48 hours, I was just like, don't you dare, because it's an insult to the fans and the what they've told the fans they wanted to do over the last sort of 5 or 6 years with the whole stadium move, and then they go and do what they did. Hopefully, it turns out to be a great decision. So far, so good, but I just think it's just crazy that they've decided to do what they've done.
Well, crazy. They have brought Moyes back. Tom, I want to bring you in it. But before you talk about it, and obviously James is mentioning the lack of ambition there, and I know you felt strongly, you was, you know, all over social media talking about disappointment, but not in fairness to West Ham, let's offer both perspectives of this. They did sack Pellegrini. What managers were out there that maybe they could have gone for? I know Everton, it's easy to say they've appointed Ancelotti, but the money supposedly is on absolutely incredible. Who really could have they have got in this time?
I mean, that's the issue that we had at the time when we did sack Pellegrini. We did it so late on in the season where we'd already lost out on a chance to even approach Ancelotti, chance to approach a lot of the other younger managers, even Eddie Howe before he had his shocking run. We fell behind the pack with the time we decided to sack Pellegrini. He was done 4 or 5 games before that. The Chelsea game was the one little glimmer, because it's Chelsea West Ham. The players showed up. I'm not particularly sure it was even him. There was rumours coming out. It was Maresca who even took the team for the week leading up to the game. So it wasn't particularly Pellegrini magic or anything like that. He didn't tactically blow them out of the water. He just stood up, played well and got the job done. But I think the question for me, Niko Kovac was the one which would have been a bit jazzier than David Moyes. I know it's... You can say, oh, it's a foreign jazzy name manager, but he took over Frankfurt when in the bottom three and he's made them survive. Then he went on to the next year to win the German Cup. And also he's managed Sepp Haller before, and one of West Ham's biggest problems was getting the best out of Sepp Haller. And Niko Kovac did that, or was one of the main factors in Haller becoming a £45 million player, and it all sort of seemed to fit. And he didn't have a club, so there was also no compensation either. So that would have been a more ambitious appointment. It's not Moyes' fault. He was appointed. Anyone would take the job. But I'm with James. It was a backward step. And he'll have to do a lot right to turn that sort of image around.
Mm. Is it difficult, though? Because, I'm not defending the board. It's very tough when you do make a hiring in season. You're almost in a lose-lose situation. They go for the jazzy name that you just mentioned there, Tom. And people go, we've just had that in Pellegrini. Let's get someone who knows this side. Because I know you said someone that knows the culture of the team, knows the identity. Moyes, to a degree, does know that. He's been there before. So any name would have been maybe not met with the greatest of praise, James. Is that fair?
No, I don't think so. I think that if they'd have gone a little bit left field and maybe brought in... I mean, there's a lot going on about, you know, young German managers. You know,
you love Nagelsmann.
I spent a lot of money on Nagelsmann going to Spurs. And
yeah, I spent a lot of money on your sources, so that's how much I trust you. Yeah,
no,
useless.
But, I mean, it might still happen, Mourinho. You know, I don't know. But,
please bet responsibly.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I think there'd have been less of a backlash if they'd have just got in someone like Kovac.
Mm.
I think, who maybe a little bit unproven in the Premier League. Yeah, okay, he flopped at Bayern, but you know that's a difficult job to take. Mm. And I think you know, anyone other than going back to a manager that you deemed not fit to take that job beyond a 6-month contract would have been fine. You mentioned Ancelotti. Mm. I think it's mental that the owners of our football club didn't see that coming from Everton.
And let it go.
Everyone saw that coming. Mm. The next team who sacks their manager is going to go for Ancelotti. And we didn't move for it. We waited. Oh yeah, got a win at Chelsea. We'll keep him in the job for another few weeks. Meanwhile, Everton have gone, Marco Silva out the door, Ferguson in for a few games, we'll get the Ancelotti deal done.
But would have West Ham paid Ancelotti? They already have to pay off Pellegrini. You know, I'm sure that Moyes is a lot cheaper than Ancelotti is, James.
Well, this is the problem, though, Charlie, is that our owners always think for the cheap deal. Mm. If you want to compete, and you want to be that so-called Champions League football club that you promised the fans.
But it's also calculated risk, isn't it? Because if
it
they're paying off Pellegrini and Ancelotti doesn't work out, now we're paying two expensive managers.
The fans would rather see the board and the owners of this football club take a calculated risk on spending money on sacking Pellegrini and his backroom staff and spending more money on bringing a manager of Ancelotti's calibre into the club. If it don't work out, then they're safe because they've showed the ambition. They've showed the ambition there and gone, do you know what? No, we're going to spend all the money on getting the right manager in. I'm not saying that David Moyes is going to be the wrong manager over the 18 months because he's had a good start and, you know, I'm not going to pass judgment on that. But Ancelotti would have been the appointment that would have kept the fans happy regardless of how much it cost. And that's the problem with David Gold and David Sullivan at the moment is that, and pretty much for their entire spell at the club, is that they've been penny pinching. What's the cheapest option? We'll promise the fans this, but what's the cheapest option? And that's what they've done here.
Yeah, completely. And I think with the Ancelotti thing, as much our owners are penny pinchers and they do it all behind closed doors, in the summer when you've got the blanket of every club going to work, they can hide and they can put their money into certain things and sell off certain players and the media's not all over it because you've got a Pogba story. With Ancelotti then, if we'd sacked him at the same time as Everton and it would quite literally been a 50-50 between Ancelotti going to West Ham and Everton, I'd be surprised if they would have lost out financially to Everton over that deal if it was played off in the press, West Ham versus Everton a choice. I think they actually would have maybe stumped up the money because they knew the backlash they would have got if they didn't get Ancelotti and employed a Moyes.
Mm.
But it's just a lack of risk they took.
Well, let's quickly talk about Moyes then. Is it, you know, he's found something in this team? You're seeing a different style of play, the passion's back in the players, or is it simply a new manager bounce? I know in a few games we'll get a clearer picture, James, but where do you stand on it?
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. David Moyes isn't a bad manager. He took the wrong job in the Man United job. He should never have taken that job.
Always a difficult job after Ferguson.
But he was never going to turn that down. No manager in the world was turning that job down at the time. It just happened to be him that was the chosen one, as it was at the time. And I think he got a bit of a bad rap for that. You know, it was a very difficult job to take. Some people say it ruined his career, but this is his opportunity to rebuild his career. I thought he was well on his way to doing that when he was at the club beforehand. Arguably deserved and earned the right to get an extended contract. Didn't get it. Fine. Whatever. But now he's come into a club that he knows. He's already said that he knows the back room. You know, he knows his way around the club. He doesn't need a settling in period. He knows half the squad already. And so far, 2 wins. Was 6 goals scored. 2 clean sheets.
Bournemouth and Gillingham flying high.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, but it's been a good start. It has been a good start.
The
performances have been promising. I'm not going to say he's going to, you know, win us the Premier League and take us into heady heights, but it's been encouraging. And listening to him talking in the press conference has been quite encouraging as well. You know, he seems like he's happy where he is.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about the good start he's made at West Ham, and obviously his backroom staff, because Stuart Pearce was blocked from rejoining him. We're going to be speaking about that. But a man who will know more, Jimmy Walker, former West Ham goalkeeper, joins us next.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joining in the studio with We Are West Ham. No, it's West Ham World, isn't it now?
No, it's We Are West Ham.
It's We Are West Ham, West Ham World, whatever the one that Will Pugh's not involved. That's the one we're going forward. Still time to get in touch. So I'm honestly kidding, Will. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. We were just talking about the appointment of David Moyes, and I'm delighted to say now we are joined by the brilliant Jimmy Walcott, ex-West Ham goalkeeper. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of time tonight. Firstly, what have you made of David Moyes' appointment being back at the club?
Well, listen, he can't have after a much better start, can he? So that's I think he's hit the ground running. I know I spoke to a few of the West Ham fans and it was a bit indifferent, really, with his appointment. And on the surface, it weren't that inspiring. But you know what? Looking at it, it's a real solid appointment. I think David himself said he's gone away and had a look at a few things, been into a few different clubs. And he's brought sort of a vibrancy to it already, which is great to see in the couple of games he's been in charge. So, you know, I think at the moment it looks a great appointment, don't it?
Hello, Jimmy. Obviously, goalkeeper problems have been massive for West Ham this season, and we're about to sign Darren Randall for $4 million. Do you think why would the club make a deal like that when Martin's performed so well in his four games? Do you think it's a good move or not?
Do you know what? I think it's a great move. I do. I mean, at that level, at the level we want to be at, you know, as a West Ham team, you need two top keepers competing for the top spot, for the number one jersey. Then you need another one as a good backup. At the moment, that gives you that makes the goalkeeping department really strong for me. You know, if you can get Randolph in, he's been sensational since he left over at Middlesbrough. He's been great. Mm. And, you know, like you say, Dave Martin's come in and done a cracking job. He was unfortunate to get the injury. If he didn't get the injury, would they have took that and paid $4 million for Randolph? I'm not sure, but it makes the goalkeeping department really strong all of a sudden. You've got four, you know, goalkeepers that could compete. I know Roberto's had a hard time of it, and I don't know what the future holds for him over there, but, you know, like, you've definitely got three that can compete for the number one spot. I mean, Fabianski is different class. For me, he's a top four goalkeeper. And you know, we're backed up by Randolph and Martin. That's really strong.
Jimmy, what do you make of the period between Fabianski getting injured and then coming back? Because obviously, I think we only won one game in that time. I think that was the Chelsea away with David Martin. And a lot of people were saying that it was because Fabianski wasn't in the squad that the team had suddenly started conceding a load of goals and they didn't have any confidence. But you know, do you think that a goalkeeper can have that much influence on a team's form and a team's confidence going forward?
Massively. I don't think it was any coincidence that, you know, the form dipped when Fabianski came out the side. A good goalkeeper can spread, you know, sort of, he can bring a calmness to a back four. Everyone knows what they're going to get. Now, it was unlucky. Roberto came at a real tough time because some bits I saw of him, he looked a real good goalkeeper, but he's had such a hard time. And I think that just spread throughout the team at the time. And you know, when you get on that bit of a... So it's like, you know, the new manager coming in and he starts with a bit of momentum, that's everything you need. If Roberto came in like that and started really well and, you know, got a couple of results, might not have missed Fabianski that much. But, you know, when he had such a bad time and the players know how good Fabianski is, and it's really tough. But I think a good goalkeeper for me can earn their team between 12 and 15 points a season. And if they can do that, they're a top keeper. And I think Fabianski was doing that at the time. Mm. Like I say, so it's massive for me. I'm biased anyway, you know, being a goalkeeper coach now and an ex-goalkeeper. I'm biased, but a goalkeeper, I think Brian Clough said it in the first one when he signed Shilton. You know, he had to get that appointment right because he knew that was the main position. And I don't think anything's changed since then, you know. It's a massive, especially the way they are. Goalkeepers nowadays are expected to do a bit of everything: save the ball, take the crosses, but also start the play as well. So you need two top goalkeepers at that level for me. And if we, like I say, if we sign Randolph as well, backed up by, like I said, David Martin and Roberto, the goalkeeping department's really strong.
Yeah, Jimmy, like you mentioned, not only can a good goalkeeper maybe bring you 12, 15 points a season, if you do get that key position wrong, you can lose those points Roberto has done this season, a little bit of butterfingers labelled by the fans. But where else, Jimmy, can you see West Ham maybe signing other players? What positions do they need this January?
Well, for me, I've always said it, you know, it's a massive difference being at the London Stadium than Upton Park. I think he can sort of get through on blood and sweat and tears at Upton Park, but you need some we need some pace. There's only really Antonio with that pace. Some pace either side would be great. You know, we've got some really good players in there. I know they've had a bad time for the last few months. Hopefully, we can get back to it, to being what we was at the start of the season. I watched the Man United game, and it was excellent back in the day. And if we can get back to that and add a little bit more pace to it, I think we've got a real chance of kicking on. I don't think we'll be, touch wood anyway, I don't think we'll be any danger of being where we are at the moment further down the line. But you never know. But I think if we can add to it, you know, it'd be great. It'd be a great lift for the fans. It'd be great to get some wins at London Stadium and get it rocking again. Because like I said, that Man United game back, it seems ages ago now, but it was a fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah, it really was. Hopefully they can kick on in the second half of the season. Jimmy, we really appreciate you coming on and giving us a little bit of your
welcome.
Time.
What a show. West Ham show. All about nothing better, surely.
What, nothing better, Jimmy? You know, there's a place in the studio.
It's a godsend, Jimmy.
Jimmy, there's a place in the studio for you every week if you want to come, mate. We're more than happy to have you down.
Yeah, listen, anytime I talk about the Hammers, I'm more than happy.
Jimmy, you booked him, mate. We'll see you for the next 6 weeks. Jimmy Walker, former West Ham goalkeeper. Always a delight and a pleasure to hear from Jimmy. And apparently, with Sam, West Ham are making signings. We are West Ham, have just made one of their own.
We just signed someone.
And Will Pugh's out. One in, one out.
See what I do?
Will Pugh's gone.
New manager bounce.
Jimmy Walker's in.
Unbelievable.
Absolute scenes.
You love to see it. Let's quickly go back and talk about that Moyes appointment. We was mentioning backroom staff. Stuart Pearce hasn't been allowed to go back with him. Obviously, comments he made about the board. What have you made of this, James?
I mean, it's typical David Sullivan, isn't it?
Petty, stubborn.
It's typical David Sullivan. And I mean, I don't really know what else to say about it other than that, really.
I've got to say, I agree with him. If someone said it about me, I want them back.
The thing is, he came out and he was glowing about David Gold and how personable he was. And he was always at the training ground, talking to the players, talking to the staff. What I want to know is, if David Gold's doing that, why isn't David Sullivan doing that as well?
Exactly. James has got angry, even banging his fingers on the table.
It just annoys me. It's like, it's one bit of bad press after another, you know. You know, we've had quite a good couple of weeks where after the whole David Moyes furor, why they brought him back, won two games, we're in the fourth round of the FA Cup, brilliant. And then suddenly it comes out that David Sullivan's basically blocked Stuart Pearce, who played for West Ham with a broken leg once.
Yeah.
And isn't allowed back because he criticised David Sullivan for not saying hello to him while he was employed under his... It's just weird.
It is a dictatorship. It's a Sullivan dictatorship, and if you undermine anything he says, then you're banging trouble and the club's not going to be a home for you. And that's what's so worrying. You rarely see chairman this involved. I don't know another chairman who, quite frankly, picks the players you sign. I mean, they give the veto and they say yes, good deal, bad deal to the manager, and they have that say, but they don't go out and do the scouting for him. Sullivan seems to be involved in all our transfers, involved in the backroom staff. It's another reason probably why they got Moyes in, because they can bully him about and say, look, you were unemployed for 18 months. If your staff doesn't fit our criteria in the sense that they backstabbed us, we won't let you get on with your job the way you want to. We'll pick and choose the people who come and work for you. And that's the type of overarching stuff which annoys everyone at West Ham about the owners.
We were led to believe that David Sullivan was taking a step back and he was going to allow the management to
run the club,
make those decisions. Those decisions, the pitch side decisions, decisions regarding the squad, right? That's no place for David Sullivan. That's not his decision to make. That's for the football people to make. He's not a football man. He's a businessman. And he's a very successful businessman, I'll give him that. But he's not a football man. I think he's proven that over the last 10 years. He's not a football man. So let David Moyes pick his right staff. He wants Stuart Pearce there. Let him have that job.
What does it say about David Moyes? You've allowed him to come back. You want it to go well. And then you're like, David, you know, we're letting you back in the club for a second time. Well, but you can't have the staff you want. I mean, he's already, I don't want to say off to a bad start, but that doesn't help Moyes, does it? And it doesn't help the team.
Frustrating. And I think he knew, but I think this is a bit of give and take on both sides. I think Moyes accepting the job was a little bit, not muggy, don't get me wrong, you would take that job. But he knew coming back that he got so, the way they got rid of him, and they said,
shafted,
and they say, look, we're going to go into this next level. We've got Pellegrini basically saying Pellegrini's a significantly better manager than David Moyes, and da da da. And then he's come jumping straight at the chance to work with us. He must have known that they have a little bit of lack of respect for him in certain aspects. And this is one of those things where Moyes clearly is. And if Pellegrini would say, look, I want this member of staff, West Ham would do everything to get him. When it's a David Moyes, they clearly see him as a bit more of a pushover, probably in the transfer market and probably in terms of what he wants going on right at the club. And they've just said, look, he said this, so we're not going to have him in.
The worrying thing here is that we've lost the director of football.
Yeah.
Okay, I know a lot of people accused Houssalos for the Roberto deal and the Sanchez deal and stuff like that, but 90% of his signings were pretty good. Right, a lot of people, they remember the bad ones, don't remember the good ones.
Fornals is coming good.
Anderson has been okay. Okay, he can be a little bit lazy.
Anderson's turned. I can't believe it.
Haller.
Diop will get money back.
We'll get like a lot of money on him, I think. Balbuena, what's still at 4 mil, you know? And Fabianski on a free.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've brought in some good players under that director of football. One bit of criticism over the goalkeeper and suddenly he's walked. And now David Sullivan's back in charge of making the transfers and we're getting all our old players back and our old manager. It's a sad state of affairs. But I do genuinely believe that David Moyes is going to do a good job for us over the next 18 months because he shows some good signs.
Well, touch wood, because obviously the club making some backwards decisions there. We are turning our attentions to the Premier League, which is Friday night lights for West Ham in action against Sheffield United. And Callum Cheswick, Sheffield United writer for Varvel, joins us next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, Tom Edwards and James Jones. We're talking everything where West Ham are concerned. Obviously, the appointment of Moyes. We just spoke to Jimmy Walker, who apparently is our latest signing. He's going to be joining us every week. Delighted to have him on. And he was more delighted that he was on himself. So a really good one there. We're going to be talking to Callum Cheswick in just a few minutes. But before all that, and before we look at the Sheffield United game, you were in FA Cup action this weekend. Obviously, it always matters more because I was thinking of the Oxford game, James, and how upset you were. This one, another tricky tie away to Gillingham. You saw it through, obviously two goals, both coming late, but you was in the hat for the next round. You got West Brom. What are you making of it?
Well, my first thoughts were, yes, it were Millwall. And I tweeted that. which a lot of West Ham fans didn't like. And then abused me for. But then suddenly I was like, oh, Stephen Bittich is coming back. Julian Dix is coming back. And it'd be really nice.
David Moyes is coming back.
Darren Randolph's coming back. It's just a season of reunions and going on.
Trevor Brooking will be in the dugout.
I mean, it'd be mental. It's a good draw, I think. It's a home draw.
But playing good football, West Brom.
They are playing good football.
Obviously, Bittich will be up for it.
Luckily, they won't have their best player on the pitch in Dean Garner because he's been pretty good for them this year. I'm really excited to see him next year at West Ham. I really want to see him in a West Ham shirt. It's good that they're not recording him, I think, just another 6 months. But I'm as much as I'm looking forward to it, I'm a little bit worried that Bittich is going to come back and bite us a little bit. And he's going to want to beat us, isn't he? As much as he had that season, that farewell bowling year. Great season of my life. And I'll always be thankful for him for doing that and giving us that moment. But I want us to knock him out, obviously. The last time we played West Brom in the FA Cup, they beat us 4-0 at the Hawthorns. Hopefully they don't do that this year. But it's a good draw. I think it's a decent draw.
Can West Ham progress further, though, Tom?
Yes, I mean, it's a home draw, winnable game. We've got, obviously, this new manager bounce, what everyone says. West Brom, they're a decent team, but also they got way bigger fish to fry. They're not going to win the FA Cup, no disrespect to them. Maybe we won't either, but they've got promotions to go for, so hopefully...
They've made 9 changes in a weekend when they play Charlton, so maybe something similar,
exactly,
obviously, against West Ham.
Week aside, I think they've got a few injuries at the minute. They'll be looking to do some business in January to propel them onwards, I think. It'll be a nice occasion. Bittich coming back, like James said, by far
Julian
and away.
Dix as well.
Yeah, by far and away the best season I've ever had. And I always love Bittich for giving me that season and the best send-off to Upton Park that we could have asked for, bar maybe getting to a final of an FA Cup or something like that. Brilliant, brilliant season. So I'm happy to see him back. But yeah, winnable game. Happy with it in the end of the day.
Winnable game. And obviously, it comes at the end of January. We'll give you a full and proper preview of that nearer the time. But we did promise you Callum Cheswick, and he has joined us now. We have delivered. We're looking at the Friday night game against Sheffield United. Sheffield United obviously going great guns in the Premier League. And I mean, it's going to be a really tough fixture, this one, for West Ham. Callum, thank you so much for joining us. What are you making of the contest?
Evening, fellas. Nice to join you once again. It's going to be a really tough one to call, like the one we had earlier on in the season. I suppose it's now a lot tougher to call now you guys have changed manager, so it's kind of that, as you just said, basically that kind of new manager syndrome where you go on a streak of 3 or 4 wins, which sometimes happens. But new year, new decade, United have, well, the Blades have struggled for form at home, so I think that will be pinpointed as something we need to improve. So actually, if I could see this being quite an entertaining Friday night game.
Hi there, mate. Obviously, this rivalry has gone on between Sheffield United and West Ham. Well, rivalry, I say, over this Tevez thing. And there's an email or passage which went out from the police up there saying that West Ham fans shouldn't stay overnight. Do you think it's going to be a bit of an interesting atmosphere on Friday night late kickoff? Do you think it's going to be a bit tasty?
I think with the night game, there's always that added sense of, drama, a bit more flavour, a bit more spice to a game. So maybe there will be a little bit of aggro, but I mean, I don't expect it to be massively bad. But I can see both sets of supporters going for each other. Put it this way.
Is there a bit of a fear at Sheffield United that Chris Wilder might be on the verge of being tapped up by a so-called bigger club? And that's without any disrespect to Sheffield United, yeah. But he's done an absolutely fantastic job at Sheffield United, and he was linked with the West Ham job before Moyes came back, and there is a feeling that the job he's doing there is eventually going to attract a bigger job elsewhere.
Yeah, I think there's always that kind of doubt and questioning of what if he does go. But for now, I'm quite confident that he will be here for the foreseeable future. I mean, like you said, he was linked with the West Ham job. He's been linked with the Everton job. I mean, there was a couple of rumours going around at Arsenal and maybe having a look. But again, they kind of want those big foreign managers. So the top six clubs don't really worry me as much as maybe like yourselves or Everton did. But while he's got this kind of journey and developing this story with United and how well we are doing, I think he knows he'd be stupid to kind of jump ship now, because it's kind of not finished. He knows we can get better, improve and push on for trying to get consistent top 10 finishes. So for me, if United do start to get stagnant and do kind of don't progress as much or as well as Wilder would want, then that's when it kind of comes into, well into Wilder thinking, have I took Sheffield United as far as I can? And when it gets to that point, you don't want to kind of overstay and ruin all the good work you've done. So I think for now, more than confident that we'll be staying, but if in the future things do start to slow down in terms of our progression, then maybe you do get a bit more worried.
You just mentioned you think that the question mark if Wilder feels like he's taken Sheffield United too far. When you and Sheffield United fans look down at that squad, do you feel like this next half of the season could actually be a bit of a struggle and you could find yourselves in a bit more of a dogfight than is looking like right now? Because it's hard to sustain this level of performance, people who've never done it in the Premier League before.
Yeah, I think with this January, the end of December into January, it's been such kind of a tricky month. I mean, Man City, the end of December, then Liverpool, yourselves, Arsenal, and then back to Man City again. This is kind of a month where we aren't expected to get much, so it's almost a free hit. If we can take points, then brilliant, we move on. But February is a good month to get points. I'd expect us to try and win at least 3 out of his 4. But it does kind of think, are we able to maintain the form and the kind of the standards that we set in the first half of the season? And although, yeah, we did lose 2-0 to Man City and Liverpool, the little break we had with the FA Cup, I think it doesn't give me kind of reason to think that we can't carry on like with the quality that we've shown in the first half of the season. I mean, what you've got to look at is the January window as well, if we bring players in to maintain standards within the group. But for me, anyway, we've got enough points to stay up now. I think it'd be an absolute capitulation. And to be honest, it'd just sum Sheffield United up if we did get relegated from this point. But I mean, I don't see us doing it. It's just if we can build on our good start. Yeah, it will be difficult to do that. But with Wilder, Alan Nil, the backroom staff and this group of players, I can see us maintaining that.
Yeah, absolutely, Callum. We really appreciate you giving us some time. Very quickly, what is your score prediction for Friday?
Well, I said it'd be an entertaining one, so I'll go 2-2.
Ooh, 2-2. Callum sitting on the fence there. We really appreciate you giving us a bit of your time. Callum Cheswick there, Sheffield United writer for Varvel. He's saying a point. James, I think you would be pleased with a point, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd take a point all day long. I think it's going to be... I mean, they've already shown this is a different place to go this year. They've had a really, really good season. I really wanted to ask him how Ravel Morrison's getting on.
Yeah.
Because everyone forgets about Ravel.
He played well the other day. I watched his highlights against Fylde.
And signing Jack Rodwell, aren't they? So
that way he signed. He played against Fylde.
That's what I mean, yeah.
All the players coming back. Given the circumstances between both clubs this season and the fact we haven't got a right back at the moment, well, we do, but he's...
I think this is
half up. Retired.
This is up there with one of the games I really, really want to win.
This is the acid test of Moyes' second reign.
Exactly. It's a Friday night. Everyone's going to be watching it. It's a big chance to go out there, David Moyes, with people watching you when you've got a lot of stick, and go out there, make your team give a good display. And I think it'll do a lot for him if he wins up there. But like I say, James, take a point. Absolutely. A point up there is decent. They've been good all season.
From home as well, anywhere is
and
good.
And to a side that are really difficult to beat at Bramall Lane, and they're getting points on the road and at home. They're really up there this year. Maybe not many people predicted that. What is your score prediction?
My score, I think I'm actually quite confident. I think we'll go up there and maybe 2-1.
2-1, he said a point will be acceptable. Norway. He's gone for 2-1. The three.
I think so. James.
I mean, Callum with his Desmond's a pretty good shout.
Oh, James is here.
1-1.
1-1. So a point for James, 3 for Tom. Either way, we'll be across the talking about that game next week when we're back. But there is still much more to come. It is, of course, the Rogue Players West Ham Mystery Players Quiz.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Well, I'm very excited because this not only is the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and we are West Ham, Tom Edwards and James Jones, but of course, this was the first show of the year, and it does mean the Rogue West Ham Mystery Players Quiz is now back.
I've missed it so much.
It's the best smile, the biggest smile James has ever produced.
When I did it over the phone,
it wasn't the same.
I was in the front room. It just didn't feel the same.
I know when the lights, they're dim, the tension in the studio, you feel it. That little bead of sweat you've got.
I still won
James,
as well though when
you
I was
did.
In the front
smashed
room.
Smashed it. Yeah, absolutely smashed it. Tom, you're on a bit of a run. They call them friendlies, but soon you're a bit of a super sub. We're gonna sign you up.
I'm not one to blow
Jimmy
my
Walker
trumpet.
Out first.
Yeah, we do. We'll get him in, mate. It'll be three of us. Will Pugh nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, but Tom, you've got a good run in these quizzes. Obviously, I know everyone's familiar with them, but I will give you a rundown of the rules. 3 West Ham players, 5 clues. They get easier as we go on. The first player to get the player that I'm giving you the clues of wins that point. 3 points on offer. Obviously, it is a new year. We will continue in the quiz once Will is back, but we say it's a friendly until Will is back. And this one is James Jones versus Tom Edwards. And this... is player one.
It's never a friendly between.
It's never. Yeah,
I love it.
On.
This is what we're waiting for. Player number one, clue number one, finished their career at Accrington Stanley in 2003. Clue number two, won the FA Cup with Liverpool in 1992. Clue number three, made 61 appearances for West Ham between 1993 and 1995. Clue number four, first team coach at Swansea. Clue number five, final clue, shirt number 14. We kick off the year and we have absolutely stumped them.
I mean, it's...
This is got my brain
ticking.
I say
we, the generous term of we, because this is Reese's quiz. Unbelievable,
mate,
Reese.
This is a tough one.
He's all over me like a rash.
I keep thinking Steve Jones, but it's not, is it?
It's not. That is incorrect. I will give you the clues again, though. Player number one, clue number one, finished their career at Accrington Stanley in 2003. Clue number two, won the FA Cup with Liverpool in 1992. Clue number three, made 61 appearances for West Ham between 1993 and 1995. Clue number four, first team coach at Swansea.
Don Hutchinson.
Incorrect. Clue number five, shirt number 14. If you are playing along at home, you can tweet us your answers, WhatsApp your answers, call in your answers.
0208 7020 558.
It's too late.
We are West Ham. Don't know this former
Alex
West Ham
Song.
Player. Incorrect.
Yeah, I thought so. Not Alex Song.
Rigobert
Song.
The producer has just got it right. He is Googling it, of course, though, because there was no way
was
he would have got that. Hence why he's laughing now. And he actually said it with a straight face.
Did
like
you say
he
his position
Google
at any time?
I didn't. We're going to bank this one and go
bank
on
it,
to player
it,
number
it,
two.
It,
get in it. Your answers now. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Player number two, clue number one, conceded a penalty on his debut against Man City. Played for three different English clubs. Clue number three, played 24 games for West Ham, didn't score.
Lars Jakobsen.
Incorrect. Clue
shout
number
that,
four,
shout.
Left to join it. The Chinese Super League. Clue number five, Portugal international.
Manuel da Costa.
Incorrect.
Clue
number one, conceded a penalty on his debut against Man City. Clue number two, played for three different English clubs.
Jose Fonte.
That is correct, and it is 1-0 to James. This is the last player, but we do have player one banked still, and there is still time for you to have your say tonight. Get involved, because these two need all the help they can get
good.
Up. Super sub no more. Jimmy Walker would have got this straight away. Player number three, clue number one, began their career at Hereford Town. Clue number two, played 10 games for West Ham. Clue number three, debut was against Nottingham Forest on Boxing Day 2004. Clue number four.
Hogan Ephraim.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
That's a random shout.
Yeah.
Right. Only West Ham goal came against Leeds at Elland Road.
Collins. Daniel Collins.
That's incorrect.
Oh.
Right.
Last one equaliser.
Because the next clue, I don't know how to say it. He's a current manager. I'm guessing it's a Welsh side, and I can't even pronounce it. I'm sorry. I can spell it. Here we go. This is how bad it is.
Go on,
I think
Chris
everyone...
Cohen.
No. Right. The team is, first word is M-E-R-T-H-Y-R.
Merthyr.
Yeah, but you never know, do you? Second word, T-Y-D-F-I-L. That's my broadcasting career. Oh, down the drain, is it? Yep, P-45. That is the clue number four. I will run you through. Began their career at Hereford Town, played 10 games for West Ham. Debut was against Nottingham Forest on Boxing Day 2004. Only West Ham goal came against Leeds at Elland Road, and obviously managing some team in Wales at the minute.
Yeah, no, I think Reece has got us here.
He's even got me.
Although I've got a random shout for the first one.
All right.
Can you go through the clues again?
All right, we're banking player three. Very confusing. Just go for it.
Is it Mike Marsh?
It is absolutely correct. It is 2-0 to James. Mike Marsh is correct.
No
He's
way.
He's got number one and number two. We stay on number three, but James Jones has won the mystery rogue player
That's
West Ham quiz tonight.
Is.
Unbelievable scenes here. James has pulled out of bag. You go from strength to strength, beginning the new year as you ended
Reece
the last
has stitched
one.
Me up. I blame Reece today.
He stitched me up. I can't even read out the clues. We have had a tweet in... And we've had a tweet into the studio, and I can't read you the tweet because the tweet is correct. So,
I'm not going to get the third one.
Began their career at Hereford Town, 10 games for West Ham. Debut was against Nottingham Forest on Boxing Day 2004. Only West Ham goal came against Leeds at Elland Road.
It's not that left back, is it? Oh, no. I think he has a bullet left foot. Harley. Is it not Harley?
It's incorrect.
John Harley.
John Harley, yeah.
The answer... And you did get it right on Twitter. Gavin Williams.
Ah, well played. Did you play for Yeovil at one point?
But James, it doesn't matter. because you won 2-0. You just go from strength to strength, my man. The first quiz.
I'm dedicating that one to my son.
Oh, unbelievable.
I gave him that one, yeah.
Nice. I mean, James, is there anything you can't do at the minute? You're a new dad. You smashed the quiz the last decade. You started it this decade. I mean, just water into gold at the minute, isn't it?
Just living the dream, mate.
Living the dream.
You know it is.
Yeah, well, it's unbelievable. You need a bit of competition.
Well, I mean, I've scared Will off. He's gone skiing.
Completely different country.
Tom only wants to play friendlies because, you know, he's a bit worried that it might mean
Tom
something.
Tom only knows West Ham players from about 2017 onwards.
Do me a favour, mate.
All right, 2015, a push. Literally, if you mention
it's my
any
first loss in ages, mate.
Right, Tom, if you mention any West Ham player previous from 1999, you don't have a clue.
Who does he think he is? He was crying to me about Arteta the other day. He's getting a big one.
It's all coming out. James, I don't think no one's a match for you at the minute.
No, I'm happy.
Mike tried. He Googled it, so that definitely doesn't work. But we need some competition. You out there, tweet us, let us know. And I think in the future, if you on Twitter or you call in, you get it before, I think we should have a third party and they win the point, James.
Okay, do you know what? I think we should.
Is that a good idea?
Let's get Reese in the studio.
Great idea.
And Jimmy. Let's pitch Reese Bayliss off with Jimmy Walker. Reese has been a great quiz master for the last four or five months. But we need to put Reese to the test, I think.
I think we do need to put Reese to the test. Well, he's the master, though. How do you put the master to the test?
I want to veto the guy who tweeted in because I believe I follow him, Benny Curtis, and I believe he would have Wikipedia. There's no way he has that in the bonds.
Oh, controversial.
No way.
You're saying he hasn't got the minerals. He's pulled that out of the drawer and you're not having it, Tom.
I'm not having it. He's a Norwich fan, so that doesn't make sense to me.
I'll be honest, I didn't have you down as bitter.
It's gone down badly today, I'll tell you that.
Tom's head's gone. It's a great time for the Hammers at the minute, you know?
It is, mate. I've seen Tom's head go.
I've seen Will's head go.
Yeah. I'll be skiing next
you're
week.
Just sitting
man composed.
Yeah, with a pipe. Living the dream, crumbling
around him, and he's just still there.
Yeah, well, we can't end the show on that because Tom will end crying. But let's end then. What are the second half expectations now that Moyes is in very quickly? Where do you see the second half of this season playing out, James?
I see us obviously staying up. I don't see us going down. I don't think we'll ever be anywhere close to being going down. I think it'll be another mid-table job under him this year. And then I'd like to see the board backing this January to start with, but also next summer. If he's going to keep this job for 18 months, as we're led to believe, then he keeps us up. We finish mid-table, 10th, 11th, wherever it may be. But then you've got to back him in the summer because you can't do that and then not back him in the summer. He needs the players he wants to come in to take us where he thinks he can take us. My only worry is that the board won't back him.
Yeah,
because it's David Moyes and not Manuel Pellegrini. I think there's a caliber of manager that I think they'll be willing to back, and I don't think David Moyes is that manager.
I agree. He needs two window. He needs a few players in January, and he needs to keep the core of the squad we have and not sell anyone until the summer. But in the summer, he needs to clear out players who aren't his own, like a Yeti, like maybe one of the centre halves. I don't think he wants all four of them, and fullbacks, or probably both fullbacks on each side could go. And make his own squad, get his own identity imprinted if we want to go down that David Moyes route. And it will be clear in these next two windows if they want to stick with him long term or not.
Yeah, well, it's a new dawn for the Hammers. Interesting to see how it plays out. Moyes' third game in charge, Sheffield United this Friday. What will happen for the Hammers there? Either way, we'll be back next Tuesday at the same time as we are every week, 7 to 8, for all your Hammers chat with We Are West Ham. We will see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.